Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Can I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
My name
is Senator Pash Hawkins. I would like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to serve with you. The sons and daughters of Israel will now enjoy the sanctuary. I'd like to introduce Son Israel Ben Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You can't be seated. Peace be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Baptism Yahweh's Way. Great Father Yahweh set up baptism for a holy purpose. It's only when we study that we can know Yahweh's purpose and plan and why we need baptism. Getting baptized into the great house of Yahweh is part of our connection to our Father. Please turn to Matithia 4:4 on page 730. And it says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." Why is it important to live by the every word of Yahweh? Because the only way to receive eternal life. We want eternal life, right? Please turn to Matthew 7:14 on page 733. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Narrow is the gate. This means not many will get into the kingdom. It will only be those that live by the every word of Yahweh that can enter into that small group. Us. We do that. Yahweh's word comes through his voice, the seventh Malach, in these last days. Edrew Hawkins. If we only follow his teachings, we can be a part of this great family of Yahweh and can enter into eternal life. In the seventh book of Israel, part 2, chapter 14, verse 70. Matithia 3:15. But he answered, saying to him, Allow this. You know what he was wanting them to allow? He's fulfilling an ordinance of Yahweh, which is baptism. Well, baptism, Yahweh's way, the only place you'll find it is in the house of Yahweh. The rest of them are doing it altogether wrong. They're not even following this ordinance at all. Our pastor has taught us how to live by Yahweh's laws. We need to first repent from ever breaking Yahweh's laws, then confess our sins, then get baptized into the name of Yahweh. Baptism is not the final step through. We need to then convert fully to Yahweh's way. We can only do that by remaining in Yahweh's house, sitting at the feet of our teachers. This is how we learn to overcome. When we overcome sin, we have the right to the tree of life. We can enter into the kingdom. We can do this, brethren. Can Yahweh bless your understanding? I would now like to turn it over to the next speaker.
At this time, it's a privilege and honor to turn it over to Deacon Nazaria.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of the sermon is Yahweh's Shadow of Protection, and the purpose is to reassure us that we are in a protected place. If you don't know, the house of Yahweh was on the news, as you can see right here. And the subtitle that they used against us states, Religious organizations stays open despite CDC's recommendation. When you type that in the Yahmatria, the first number you get is 2927, which means find shelter and shadow. What makes this interesting is that they spelled despite wrong. And had I would have put it in the Yahmatria with the correct spelling, I wouldn't have received the same relevant numbers. So I typed it in as they had it. And 2927 means shelter and the fine shadow. And Colossians 2:16 states, Therefore let no man condemn you, not even the news agencies, for doing these things, eating and drinking in observance of a feast day or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath day, which is a shadow from things to come for the body of Messiah. So yes, let us keep the feast with unadulterated principles of sincerity and truth. Praise Yahweh. So come and experience this great joy in the protected place where Yahweh has chosen out of all of the nations to establish his name and his authority. You will have some hard times, I'm sure, but like one of my beloved counselors recently told me about something else, make it real. Whatever challenges that you are experiencing, make overcoming those challenges real. And most of all, convince Yahweh that you really want to get here and experience his joy behind his gates in his protected place. You know, it'd be in your best interest to let Yahweh know, you know, you'll be willing to do whatever it takes, whether it's washing the dishes in Abel's kitchen, whether it's sewing, working on the farm, cleaning bathrooms, whatever it is, let him know and convince him that you want to be here. Yahweh loves his workers, so he'll get you here. But moving along, I want to clear up something here. The news agency stated that we remain open despite the CDC's recommendations and painting this cunning and crafty picture that we don't follow the recommendations of the government, which is not true. We follow the scriptures that states in Romans 13:1-7, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from Yahweh, and the authorities that exist are ordained by Yahweh. You know, we've always been taught how to keep Yahweh's laws and how to keep man's laws. And in fact, we go 100 steps further than their recommendations. So keep in mind also what Pastor said. You know, he said last Sabbath, the greatest kingdom in the universe is changing hands. So now back to the numbers. 29:27 points us to 67:51, as you can see here, which means to grow dark, give shade. So yes, when the nuclear bombs darken the sun, the house of Yahweh will be our fortress. It will be our shelter. It will be our refuge, as stated in Psalms 91:1-2. So 67:51 points us to 12:12, which means in the shadow of God, as you can see right here, the shadow of God. So as stated in Genesis 3:5, the gods know evil. They practice evil. So the only shadow that they can put over their people is a shadow of death. Yahweh's shadow is a shadow of life. It gives life. His laws and his feast gives life, and it preserves life. 67:51 also points us to 67:38, which means shadow, shade, protection, defense. So we can trust in Yahweh to protect us from the pestilence, from the deception, from death, and this is what this is reassuring us of. So the last number in the matrix is 38:34, and it means craftiness, cunningness, deception. So this is the character of the prince of the power of the airways that broadcast these lies, trying to hinder Yahweh's work and his plan of life and his plan of health, peace, joy, and abundant living. I want to end with this scripture, Ephesians 4:14-16. No longer are we to be children tossed to and fro by the news media, emphasis is mine, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Instead, speaking the truth, you know, the news agencies can learn a lot about this, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him. I'm going to end with that, but I want you to know to fear not. Yahweh's reassuring us that this is his only protected place. We all stand for the great deacon, Micaiah Yaakov Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to be moving quickly here. Some important information I want to cover in light of Yeshua's memorial coming up. I want to quote his words. And to honor him is to honor Yisrael Hawkins and to honor Yahweh. So if you'll be turning over to page 774, it's Yochanan Mark chapter 12. A familiar speech here, but words that need to be rehearsed. Yochanan Mark chapter 12, the scribe's question. And we'll be going over and covering Yeshua's words. The scribe was coming. He heard Yeshua speaking. We're looking at verse 29. He said, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Father. Yahweh is one." He'd been at Yeshua, Messiah, had been asked, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" And who is he addressing? The nation of Israel was a nation of people who served Yahweh. And that nation and that city and that nation is being established in these last days. Who is he addressing? Look at the one, the unity there. That's important. Reminds me of Ephesians for your notes out to the side there, 4:1-6. 4:1-6, Ephesians 4:1-6. Yahweh our Father is one. There's one Father, one faith, one baptism. 30, love Yahweh. And you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And what is love? We know those familiar scriptures in the house of Yahweh. What is love? First Yochanan 5:3. I heard it from the young men over here. 1 Yochanan 5 and verse 3. But verse 1 is what I want to point out. And it says, he who believes Yeshua Messiah is the Messiah. He who loves him believes and loves him who begot him. He also loves him who is begotten. He also loves him who is begotten. And Yisrael Hawkins is the begotten son of Yahweh. He is the begotten son of Yahweh. Says, and the second like it, to love your neighbor, and that's Galatians 5:14. Everything in Yahweh's plan is accomplished through this. One law for all, even the stranger within your gate. Look down to 32, patronizing, it looks like the scribe said, you've answered rightly as if Yeshua or Israel need validation from anyone. 33, and love him with all the heart and with all understanding. Well, where does that understanding come from? It comes from Yahweh's last days anointed shepherd. Anointed witness. And the title of my speech is just that, is to love Yahweh, you must follow, be a follower of Yisrael Hawkins. And you must be a follower of Yisrael Hawkins and Yahweh's last days righteous shepherd. You must be a follower of Yisrael Hawkins, Yahweh's last days righteous shepherd. That's what it means to love Yahweh, is to be a follower of Yisrael Hawkins. And it says to love him with all heart and understanding. That understanding comes from Yisrael Hawkins because he is the only one in these last days teaching Yahweh's laws. Psalms 19:8, your commandments, your laws, Yahweh, are pure. They are pure. They are pure. And bring understanding to the eyes. When Yeshua saw that he answered wisely, well, he answered wisely there in verse 34. He answered wisely there in verse 34, but he didn't answer righteously there. Look back at 33. Look back at 33. It says, the offerings and the sacrifices. To love one's neighbor is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, it's important to know that from the time we're born to the time that we die, we're offering a sacrifice, whether to Lord God or the bulls of Bashan or to Yahweh Almighty. So, we're always offering that sacrifice, but we here at the house of Yahweh, as Romans 12:1 says, we offer ourselves up as living sacrifices to do the work of Yahweh. Thank you. Hebrews, and there's more on this offerings and sacrifice in Hebrews 10:4, verses 4 through 6 there. You know, the blood of bulls and rams, Yahweh is not required of anyone, not in these last days, but a body of believers, the body of Messiah here at the house of Yahweh. And that a body is being prepared for Yeshua Messiah. By who? By Yisrael Abel Hawkins, Yahweh's last days anointed witness, his last days righteous shepherd, his last days righteous shepherd. Be turning over quickly to page 826. 826. And finishing off at 34 there as you're turning over, though. The scribe answered wisely, but he didn't answer righteously. He didn't answer righteously because he had the right answer, but he didn't have the action. It wasn't in his heart, in his mind. And Yeshua said, you're not far from the kingdom. So that means he's close, and that's great, but we don't want to be close in the house of Yahweh. As they say in the world, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. We want to be all the way there. We want to be all the way there. And in verse 44 there in Yochanan Mark, he shows us how to love Yahweh, Yeshua does, with the widow's might. And that is a prophecy of us for a later sermon. But giving all we have when we're tired, when we can't go any further, and we feel that we can't give anymore, we throw our hands up and we pray to Yahweh and we beg him for that strength to keep pushing forward. That's giving the widow's might. Page 826, moving quickly here, Yochanan 10, in verses 11, starting verse 11. I'm the righteous shepherd, for the righteous shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives his whole life. Now, this sounds like Yisrael Hawkins to me. Every waking moment, it's in the praise Yahweh. It's the work of Yahweh that's constantly on his mind, and it should be the same with us. It should be the work tirelessly. Go home, you feed yourself, you shower, you study, go to sleep and get up the next day. That's a righteous living and working quietly with our hands. It says there, and the answer is in 12 and 13, the hired hand does not love the sheep. No one in the house of Yahweh is hired. Our labor of love is that of following the witness, a labor of love in volunteer work. No one here is hired. Those hired hands, they don't make the house of Yahweh their own. That's what it means to own the sheep. You make the house of Yahweh your own. You make it your own. You love the house of Yahweh. It says, I am the right. So answering that question there through the scriptures. Verse 14, I know my sheep and I have known of mine. Well, in unity there, verse 29 of Yochanan Mark, looking back with that unity, hear, O Israel, how does Yeshua know his sheep? If he's in unity with Yahweh, how does Yahweh know those who are his? They depart from teaching that Yahweh's laws are done away with. That's ludicrous. Okay? They depart from that. And I lay down my life for the sheep to guide and teach. Just as the Father knows him, Father is teacher. The same way we know Yisrael Hawkins, he sees and knows us, and we follow him because we see his work of love. He first loved us and prepared the house of Yahweh for us. He is the Yahweh's last day's righteous shepherd. Now, I have other sheep which are not outside this fold. This is us. I must bring those also, and they will hear my voice. And we have Revelation 10, and there's many other scripture verses that point straight to Yisrael Hawkins, but Revelation 22:16 comes to my mind. To testify, behold, I send my Moloch, this is the Savior of mankind, to testify, Revelation 22:16, to testify in the congregation of the house of Yahweh. Well, to testify, you got to lift up your voice like a trumpet and spare not and cry aloud. And that's Yisrael Hawkins, Yahweh's last day's righteous shepherd. And this is why we follow him. This is the mindset. This is the mindset that he's placed within us. 17, this is why my Father loves me. This is why Yisrael Hawkins loves us. Because he sees our growth and he sees us following in his footsteps. He called my same friend a few weeks ago to look at a project. My friend said that he testified to me that he walked in front of him and he saw this big footprint the witness had. And he said, man, I'm going to step right in that footprint. Those are some big foot shoes to fill. And he said he stepped right into his footprint and he thought, this is Proverbs 4 and verse 26. This is what it means to walk on established paths. Yisrael Hawkins has established the house of Yahweh, and to follow him means life eternal. This is why my Father, because we lay our life down. I lay my life down, and as the body of Messiah, we lay our life down again to take it up in peace and in joy. Why would you store up treasure with moss and rust are going to eat away at? That love and joy that you're missing, Yahweh can place it in you through his last day shepherd, Yisrael Hawkins. No man takes it from us. Now listen carefully, all you scoffers and mockers out there, anyone sitting on the fence, listen very carefully. No man takes our life from us. No man takes it. We lay our life down willingly at the feet of Yisrael Hawkins and at the feet of Yeshua Messiah, high priest. We lay it down ourselves because we have the authority to lay it down. And it's been given to us through Yisrael Hawkins, taught to us in the laws of Yahweh. In humility, we lay it down, and in lowliness. And we invite you to come and do the same and join us. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to receive it again. We receive it again as the bride in the body of Messiah. And we are willing to lay it down. And we have the authority to receive it again from Yisrael Hawkins. From Yahweh in Yeshua, Yeshua in and through Yisrael Hawkins. And there is an adage that there is, actually it's a scripture verse. I can do all things through the Creator, through Yeshua Messiah, who strengthens me. And in closing, there is one thing that's impossible. It's impossible to love and follow the Creator, Yahweh, and to love and be a follower of Yeshua Messiah, and not love and be a follower of Yisrael Hawkins, Yahweh's last day's righteous shepherd. With that, if you'll all please stand. It's a great honor and a privilege to introduce to you a beloved deacon, Yahyakin Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, you can be seated. We have a sign today from our great high priest Yeshua that I'd like to share with you. If you can show picture number one. This sign was seen in the sky by me and another deacon in the house of Yahweh, who's a great deacon, while we were on duty at the front gate. This, what I believe is a dove, this dove was huge in the sky. It was at least, I would say, at least 100 feet wide, and it doesn't get all the wing in the picture. There's, of course, two wings. You see the one on the left there, it's kind of like this, and the one on the right goes way over and extending over the house of Yahweh from the east to the west. Inside that right wing was the number 211, 211. If you'll write down some of these numbers here that were associated with this sign, this picture was taken on the Roman date of 12/07/2019, which was a few months back. It was taken at 4:20 p.m. Yahweh's date was the ninth moon, the 10th day. Again, that's the ninth moon, 10th day. So let's go over the numbers associated with this sign. First is the number 910. Drop the zero and you have 91. If you'll turn to Psalms 91, and remember what one of Pastor's things that he said before he closed last week was read Psalm 91 and remember Psalm 91. Psalm 91 reads, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty or of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say to you, Yahweh, you are our refuge, and you are our Father, and you we will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler and the noisome deadly pestilence." Of course, we see the deadly pestilence, these disease epidemics occurring right now. They've been occurring for a while, but they're getting worse. "He will cover you with his feathers." If you'll remember that picture, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. Those wings, the house of Yahweh was under those wings, and it's in this house, Yahweh's house, that we need to put our full faith in, with Yahweh, of course. "His truth will be your shield and buckler." Those laws will be our shield and buckler. "You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day." He goes on to say here, "You will not be afraid of the empty shelves at Walmart." And you will not, okay, it doesn't say that, but that's one of the things in there you should, "Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." So I wanted to look up in the Yematria, what all this said about it. So I typed in, this is on gematrix.org, just a simple gematrix.org. I typed in the dove sign seen at the front gate of the house of Yahweh on 12/07/2019. These are the numbers that came up. 8108, which is the word Shomra, which means a guard, watch. That's from 8104, Shamar, it means to keep watch. Gatekeepers, guarded. Of course, it was the gatekeepers who seen this. And if that should bring to your mind Zechariah 9:8, I will encamp around my house like a guard against those who march in and out against it. No longer will an oppressor overrun them. Another number that was associated with it was 5826. It's the word Azar. It means to help, ally, granted. Remember, we were granted to wear this fine linen, to protect, restrains. The last number that was associated with it was the word Bakin. It means tower. And it's from 975, and it means watchtower, which is from 974. It means to examine, tried, tested, proved. I don't know if anybody's been tested lately, but it's getting a lot harder. So let's go over the Roman date on this. This was 1207, which is from 1206, and that's from 948, and it means fine linen. Remember how we've been granted to wear this fine linen. This fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, if I can show picture number two. It's a little hard. This was a picture of the right wing, because I told you the left wing was about like this. The right wing was way, way over here. And in that right wing, it's a little hard to see, but it's the number 211. That's 211. 211 in the Hebrew is the word Ophir or Ophir. However you pronounce it, Ophir, it should bring to mind the gold of Ophir, the fine gold, which symbolizes the righteous character. Number 211 in the Greek means alabaster. If you'll turn to Yochanan Mark 14:3, we'll quickly read what the scripture says about alabaster. "Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and as he sat eating, there came a woman having with her an alabaster jar of ointment, made of spikenard, very expensive. And she broke the jar and poured it on his head." If we can show the picture, the third picture and final picture, This is an alabaster stone. I want to read something to you from the 12th book of Yisrael, part 2. Again, that's the 12th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 14, verse 40. And it says, "And he says in Jeremiah 23:5, Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch." That's pastor, as we know. Well, we saw that word branch there a while ago. Gonna raise it up to David. Other places show it's gonna have a king ruling over the branch, which is Yeshua, beholding the branch, guiding the branch, giving the branch a white stone, giving the branch signs in heaven, signs in the clouds that cannot be denied. All of these things were prophesied. Now let me go on to say here, let me tell you that I'm not saying that alabaster is the white stone of acquittal, but you know, that it merely resembles it. We'll have to wait to see what pastor brings out about it. So I wanted to look up the benefits of alabaster. Some of the purported benefits and what I've read online of alabaster are that it aids in forgiveness. It can assist in erasing long-held grudges. Which brings me to my final number of 420, the time that the dove was seen at. The time the sign was seen is 420. It means enduring evil. Patiently forbearing. If you'll remember, a lot of the speeches that have been brought out lately have been about getting your toes stepped on and how to deal with it and forgiving one another. This forgiveness is vital if we want to be forgiven by Yahweh. Being patient with one another's faults as Yahweh is patient with ours. If we put these things into practice, we will truly be able to put on that fine linen that we've been granted to wear and have that, put on that character of fine gold. And ultimately, Yahweh willing, be given that white stone of acquittal. That's the only way we will have Yahweh's protection from the things to come in this time. Yahweh bless you. I'll turn it over to the next speaker, the great deacon Aaron Dufresne Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My name is Deacon Aaron DeFreitas Hawkins, and I'm here to have a little talk with y'all about, you know, the feast is coming. We greatly expecting the feast to come, and this feast is going to be a very special feast. My title here I want to talk to us about is, Yahweh passed over us so that we can make atonement. You know, the purpose here is, you know, Yahshua died for our sins. We're going into Yahshua's memorial. Yahshua died for our sins. So that Yahweh can pass over us, so that we can be chosen as a first fruit, so that then we could bring forth atonement. And I'm going to explain that through the words of the eternal words of the 1 cent, Pastor Israel Hawkins. He explained that to us. He's been explaining that to us for decades now. I have a question for us, it's for all of us. This is what taunts me and keeps me up at night. How many of us today here want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh and a part of his administration? Write it down. Write it down. Write it down and keep it with you. Look at it every morning. Write down your answer and then start making choices in your life. This is what I want. This is what I want. And then work towards it. It says, this is what I do. This is something we have to be honest with ourselves about. We need to be honest. Be honest with yourself. What are you willing to sacrifice for that opportunity? This is an opportunity to be trained. Right now we're being trained to be a part of this administration. What are you willing to sacrifice? And sacrifice doesn't mean, you know, blood and guts and we're going to kill something. No. It means what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up every day? What are you willing to give up? You willing to pay the ultimate price, the widow's mite? She put 100% of whatever she had, all she had. That's what she did. Now go to, in the 4th book of Israel, Reverence of Yahweh, chapter 19 and verse 97, it says here, Pastor was explaining Romans 3 and 25, he said, in King James Version, he said, whom Yahweh set forth to be perpetuation in his blood, to the faith to demonstrate his righteousness. And that word perpetuation just means something done to regain the trust, to regain the approval of someone. It's not really a real big word. It's what we do when we realize we do something wrong. We go to somebody and we apologize. And, you know, maybe we buy our child a cake because we realize we offend them. You know, it's just something simple. It's nothing too big. It says here, still in the Reverence of Yahweh, chapter 19, what Pastor was saying, he says, because this forbearance Yahweh passed over of sins, that is sins previously committed. That's not like a Christian sin now, repent later. That's what Pastor was explaining. He said, Yahshua himself taught us to repent. It's time for all to repent. And this repentance, it means to be sorry for the sins that we've committed. In other words, you're sorry and then you convert. You convert, and this convert is to convert to the keeping of Yahweh's nows. Now, the conversion, as we all know, is a lifelong process. You don't convert overnight. Conversion, you fall, you get up, you fall, you get up, and it's how fast you get up. It's how fast you, in your mind, you realize, wait, I'm going wrong. I need to get back right. I need to find a way to get back right with Yahweh. That's the conversion. That's how well we use the STOP acronym. It's how well we use the STOP acronym. How fast we stop, we think, we consider our options, and then we proceed to the point to where, before we even do the action, we're thinking. We're thinking before we even get to the action. So we don't have to feel that anxiety. Oh man, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm just going bad. It says here, now, what I always talk about children. We all know that I talk about children a lot, and I give the young guys a hard time, you know, because the real test of self-control is what you do when no one's looking. And then all of a sudden, as a man, Yahweh allow you to have a family, and then you get married, and now it's you and your family know what you're doing. Your wife knows your sins. She know when you come home and be the hypocrite and go watch TV instead of study. You know, then you get children. And now it's wife, your children, and Yahweh. Yahweh knows all. He knows what you're doing. He knows what we're doing. You know, he knows what we're doing, everything we're doing. And as parents, we may say, well, I'm not doing that. You know, I don't teach my children any kind of negative attitude. That is something we need to stop deceiving ourselves. We do it every day when we get impatient with each other. We get impatient with each other. At that moment, that's when we need to be honest with ourselves. And be honest with those around us. Be honest with your children. Tell them, look, not because I falter, that means you should. Because I use my temper, that means you should. I grow up in the world. Remember, we have these genetics. It's our fault our children is the way they are. I mean, I don't have children. I'd like to have children. And I think that all the young guys is my children. Because this week, you know, I was losing it on this one young fella. And he was like, yeah, well, practice what you preach. I was like, ooh, that's cold. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We can't expect them to do it and don't show them. Monkey see, monkey do. They do what we do. And if we fall, get back up. Apologize. It's not too hard to apologize to a child. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. But this is not what I expect for you. This is not what I want for you. Not because I lead you the wrong way. We need to set that example. Be honest with the children. Just be honest. Now, the 10th book of Israel, in the 10th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 9, and this sermon was given on 9/18/2010, pastor said, the title of the sermon is, you as an individual must be able to make atonement. And he went on to explain, you know, when you see the peaceful solution, this is in verse 61, you say, you see the peaceful solution, you find it, you like it, you love it, you want to teach it. You start teaching it, then you go home and start a fight with your family. He said, you have not made atonement. And we do that. I do it too. You know, we make mistakes. It's how fast we get back up. down to I went to verse 28. This is something that Pastor was talking about, and he said it, and now it's eternally written there for us. It says, "Atonement shows what you are willing to go through for others." Now, get that in a nutshell, 10 words or less. It doesn't start with the day of atonement. You know, it starts long before that. You say you have to get ready for that day. If we're not getting ready for that day, then Yahshua died in vain. Then Yahweh passed over us in vain. Everything we do is so that we could make the next generation that comes after us a little more closer to being able to make atonement. You know, I'm not old, but at the same time, I'm not young. And I was young, and I know the things I've done, and I see some of these young guys, and my heart go out to them, because at their age, they don't even know the things I was doing at their age. You know, so they're so much closer to it. They're so much righteous. You know, I have 3 points I wanted to share with you guys. And be patient with them. Be honest with your children. Be honest with those that are around you. Constantly reaffirm in their mind what is expected of them. With mercy, with love, with care, with compassion. And invest in the children. Yahshua died for us. Can we just give up a few desires for the children? Is it better to have a big house and evil children, or a small house and righteous children? Invest time into the children. Invest time into children. That's something we should take in personally, and pray, because we can't do it without Yahweh. Pray that Yahweh give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding. And that way, we'll be able to make atonement. With that, I love you. I ask that y'all please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce my friend, my brother, the great deacon, Deacon Jacob Fuller Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You can be seated, please. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I would like to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay? The title of my sermon today is "The Only Connection We Have with Yahweh is Yisrael Hawkins." If you would turn in your books of Yahweh to page 558, Isaiah 44, starting with verse 2, Isaiah 44, verse 2, says, "This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed." Yahweh goes on to say here in verse 21 of the same chapter, he said, "Remember these lessons about the worship of gods, Elohim, O Jacob and Israel, for you are servants. I made you a servant to me, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me." If you notice here the value that Yahweh places in the one set, he makes him a promise. He tells him, "You will not be forgotten by me." Yahweh goes on to say, "I have blotted out like a cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." In Isaiah 45, on page 559 of the book of Yahweh, Yahweh says in verse 3, he says, "I will give to you the treasures of darkness and the riches of secret places, so you might know that I, Yahweh, who calls you by name, am the Father of Yisrael. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Yisrael, my chosen, and I call you by your name, Jacob, and I surname you Yisrael, though you did not recognize that it was me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God, Elohim. Though you did not recognize that it was me, so that they might know from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Praise Yahweh. The world in these days, they have what they call a penny. And they say that they have liberty written on it. 2010. And on the back it says United States of America, and it has a Roman shield. Why you need a shield for? Well, they use it in war, combat. They put on there 1 cent. But see, this is not the real 1 cent. I can prove it to you. If you look at the top caption at the front, the top of the penny, it says, "In God we trust." What does "in God we trust" entail? Well, guess what? Yahweh's witness, the chosen branch, the one whom Yahweh chose, his chosen branch, wrote it down for us. We tell it like it is, like it was, and like it will be. In the Prophetic Word Magazine, 10/11/2019, Pastor writes for us, "In God we trust comes the problems." What problems come? "In God we trust." Well, guess what? The 1 cent whom Yahweh gave us wrote it down for us so we can see it plain and clearly. In the Prophetic Word, 3/20/20, it says inside this issue, pain. Why pain? Everyone suffers. Throughout the scriptures, we are shown that sin, in 1 Yochanan 3:4, that sin is a transgression of Yahweh's laws, is the cause of pain. And the witness begins, and he teaches us further, and he shows us in the Prophetic Word 2:20. It says, "Yahweh gave Satan and mankind full advantage to practice their own way." What their own way is bringing is what you and I are witnessing this very day. The viruses, the diseases that they bring upon themselves because they transgress Yahweh's law. Yahweh gave us a witness to show us how that we can have a connection with Yahweh through Israel. It's written for us on the very cover of the book of Israel, "He who rules is Yahweh," making the connection with Yahweh. The 1 cent is here to show us how we can make that connection. I would like to read to you from the book, Making the Connection with Yahweh, on 152. Pastor writes, "We are going to see the end result of this great tribulation, which is very needful. We are going to see and witness the trials and tests of the universe. We are going to see thousands of people falling at our right sides. As Psalm described, 10,000 will fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you." Listen to this very closely. This is a promise from Yahweh. Yahweh has promised this, and Yahweh is faithful to keep his promise. Yahweh is faithful, just like he told the witness he would not be forgotten by him. It is not like he is doing it as some special favor for you because you are good or you did your Boy Scouts honor or whatever. He has a work for us to do, and woe to us if we do not do it. We, the house of Yahweh, want to value the 1 cent as Yahweh values the 1 cent. Yahweh inspired the 1 cent and gave us a book so we can look at it. The 10th book of Israel, "He who rules is Yahweh." Look at the picture right here that Yahweh inspired. The 1 cent in whom we trust through Israel. We have the liberty. We got 2010, but the liberty that we're taught is the liberty and freedom from sin, death, sickness, and diseases. Yahweh has inquired for us and has us to listen to the 1 cent because it's written here, believing to the 1 cent. And I'd like to read to you from Pastor's writings what he says on page 106. He reads, so now if you get this in your mind, you're going to know that Yeshua is your judge right now. And he is saying, you've got to believe in the one sent. That's Yeshua saying this to you. And if you do this, you won't be deceived. Pastor says this. Listen very carefully to what Pastor says. I have your answers. Praise Yahweh. It's more important right now that I get you to believe, and I will cover all your questions, every one of them. Listen carefully. Yahweh has not held back his spirit of knowledge and understanding from me. I know falsehood when I see it, and I know truth when I see it. Praise Yahweh. Let us value the one sent as Yahweh values the one sent. Let us get behind him with all of everything that's within us and support the one sent whom Yahweh has given us in these last days. Yahweh made a promise to him that he would not forget him. And he is that only source, that only connection that we have with Yahweh in these last days. Let us not forget that Yisro Hawkins has been sent to teach us the way, the truth, and the life that we need for our everyday life. And if you all please stand, I will now turn it over to the great Benjamin Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Welcome to the worst time of trouble ever. I'm going to be speaking about honey and the benefits of honey and how it is going to help protect us. And in the law, Yahweh commands his people to eat three things. That's salt, butter, and honey. Isaiah prophesied of Yeshua, and he wrote in Isaiah that honey and butter he would eat. Isaiah also prophesied of the last day's work, led by the branch, that they would eat honey and butter in abundance. So, when people come down with a viral infection, the doctors usually prescribe an antibiotic. These antibiotics, they help a little bit, but they hurt a lot. They're designed to kill all the microkingdoms that are in your body, including the viruses. Hopefully, the infection will die before the host dies. Well, Yahweh has his own antibiotic, and it's hidden away in honey, in raw natural honey. And it's called B-Defensin. B-Defensin 1. This is a peptide. This comes from flipperdiff.org. Defensin peptides are essentially, pay attention, ancient, natural antibiotics. It's hard for these viral infections to become immune, so it's not going to turn these viruses into superbugs. They can't be treated. This defensin actually treats those superbugs and gets them out of the way. Now, years ago, back when my hair was black, Yahweh taught us through Yisro Hawkins of several things that we could do to strengthen our body and our immune system. Your first line of defense is your gut microbes. Your gut is where viruses and other infections begin, different diseases begin in the gut. If you have an unhealthy or a confused gut flora, you're going to be more susceptible to these diseases. Well, in honey, there's a plant hormone called absolic acid. This absolic acid is used for the bees' social immunity within the hive because it's all in the honey. It's been in clinical research, they show that this absolic acid actually feeds, fortifies, and strengthens your gut microbes. So all the curses of sins that, and the antibiotics that we used to take that destroyed this gut flora can be made right by, simply by eating honey because of the salicylic acid. The other things that a pastor taught us years ago was the importance of alkalizing your body and oxygenating your body. Honey will do that for you. In honey, honey has a pH of 3.5. When we eat things that are acidic, our body becomes alkalized. So that and honey is a highly acidic food. So by eating the honey, you're going to be alkalizing your body. Now, the oxygenating your body. The bees add this enzyme to the honey. It's called glucose oxidase. What this bug does is it eats glucose, and out of the other end comes peroxide. Okay? So when you're eating your honey in abundance, like Yahweh asks us to do, you not only are fortifying your gut microbes, you are also alkalizing, oxygenating your body all at the same time. Now, in the first book of Israel, this was given in 2004, chapter 34, verse 47. The title was Cleansing Yahweh's People. Our great overseer, the teacher, had mentioned polyphenols. He didn't quite go too much into it, leaving it. He said he'd get back to it later. Polyphenols are quite interesting. And this is from Healthline. It says that polyphenols are micronutrients that we get from certain plant-based foods. Honey is a plant-based food. It's actually a concentration of plant hormones and enzymes that are brought into the beehive to help keep it healthy. And they're packed with these things called antioxidants. Okay. An antioxidant, this is from Medical News Today, an antioxidant is a substance that can prevent or slow damage to cells caused by free radicals. The free radicals are these unstable molecules that the body produces as a reaction to environmental and other pressures. So you're building up when you're angry or you're depressed, you're stressed out, you're worried if you got enough toilet paper. That adds these free radicals to your body. And free radicals go around and they destroy cells. They break them up. And we need to get those out of our bodies. Antioxidants are also called a free radical scavenger. So they go throughout your body. They arrest these free radicals, this monster army, and they escort them out of the body. Another antioxidant which is found in honey is called a flavonoid. And a flavonoid is a diverse group of polynutrients found in almost all fruits and vegetables in honey. Like other polynutrients, flavonoids are powerful antioxidants and anti-inflammatories. And they help boost the immune system. So back to these polyphenols. Now, remember I told you the free radicals go in and they destroy certain cells and injure them, causing a plethora of different health issues. Well, these polyphenols, it's suggested by clinical research that polyphenols can improve and help treat digestion issues. That's going to be the gut flora, weight management difficulties, diabetes, neurodegenerative diseases, and cardiovascular disease. Now, in Proverbs, it is written, pleasant words are like honeycomb, bringing sweetness to life and health to your bones. I mean, we can go ahead and say that these pleasant words are the teachings of Israel Hawkins, and they're like the honeycomb. Yahweh showing that the honeycomb is going to bring peace, help bring peace and joy to your mind and health to your bones. And that brings me back to this antibiotic that Yahweh created called B-Defensin 1. This stuff will actually get into your bones and trigger immune stem cells to become healthy red and white blood cells. It also helps the stickiness of the platelets to where you won't get these blood clots inside of you because your platelets aren't going to stick. Now, eating honey is like the laws. You have to layer it. What's worked for me is eating one tablespoon a night before I go to bed. Doing that, and you have to keep it up. It's not something that you just, you know, it's not like taking a pill or anything. It's not going to work right away. But as you continue to take the honey at a tablespoon a day, you're going to start feeling a change in your body. Things are going to start working better. And your mind is going to work a lot better also. And if you would all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. The great E.O. Hawkins.
Shalom. Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. I've been asked to come up here and talk about an app, a phone app that helps. It actually helped me quite a bit because I'm not a great reader. I don't like to read. It's actually, for 30 years I've been in the house of Yahweh, and I don't think I've ever read a book completely all the way through until I got this app. I've done 8 books now where I've completely completed the whole book. For the young men and women that have a hard time reading, invest in this. I mean, it helps. It really helps. It is called At Voice. The name of the app is At Voice, the key sign At Voice. When you go look for it, you have to go to Play Store on Android. Now, iPhone's going to be a little bit different. They have a different program, but they have one on it for an Android also. But you go to your Play Store, and after you get to the Play Store, you will go to At Voice Reader, Loud Out Loud Reader. And it looks like a megaphone. Then when you click on that, it will take you to your install. And then after you're done installing it, you can open it. You don't need to open it right away because you need to fill it. You can go in, you go back to your home page and go to House of Yahweh. Israel Says, any of the ones that have booklets in them, you can go into it and you can download it. So then you go back to the House of Yahweh. You click on it, and it will take you to a page that looks like this. And then you go to these 3 lines, and you'll click on it, and it'll drop down for you. It drops down, and you go to Downloads, and then it'll drop down some more. When you're on this page, you can click from any of these. They will all take you to a booklet somewhere along the line. For For me, I use the free booklets. That's where I started out with. You click on your free booklets, and it takes you to a page that opens up, and there's, it kind of looks like that. It's there's many pages of booklets, and these are all the pamphlets that the House of Yahweh has published over the years. You pick the one that you want. You just click on it. But when you click on it, you got to hold down on the picture, and it'll open up another picture that looks like this. When you do this, you'll see share link. I already have the megaphone on me because I use it all the time. The first time you won't have that. But it'll say share link, and then it'll take you in to this page, and it'll show you all your different places, what you can add it to. Now, the important part is you can add it to At Voice Loud Reader, but it won't save it. If you save it to your list, it'll always be there, and you can always go back to it at any time and listen to it again. Now, At Voice was, it's like I said, it's been a program for me that's been really heart-feeling for me because I'm not a great reader and I like to read. I'm learning to read. I'm learning to strive to be the person that Yahweh's asking me to be. So we were messing around with some of the numbers, and we went into Gematria and started looking at it. The first number was number 54. And when you looked up 54, it took you to number 1, which was Yahweh. And then it took you to 3498. 3498 is a prime root to jut over, to exceed, by implication, to excel, to remain where? To remain in the house of Yahweh, because you're learning what Yahweh has put out from the one sent. To be left, to leave cause to abound, preserve, excel, leave, remnant. To remain, to reserve, to residue, rest. The second number was 767. And it came from word 766. From the same as 765 in the sense of strength. An ash tree. A tree. What does that remind you of? From its toughness, ash. Stridius. Now that was a word that I didn't even, let alone pronouncing it correctly, I didn't even know what it meant. Making or having a harsh or grating sound. If anybody listened to a tree in the middle of the night, creak, the sounds it makes. It's, it can raise the hair on the back of your neck sometimes. And then it went into 7442, which was a prime root to properly to creak, to emit a stridious sound, to shout, usually for joy, out loud for joy, cry out loud, to be joyful, make a great singing, aloud for joy, out triumph. Triumph. That was different for me because triumph means to victory, to win. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, if we learn to read these books, what are we going to win? We're going to win the place in the kingdom. Yeah. triumph, to act. Fact are conditions of being victorious or triumphant. Victory, conquest. A significant success, a noteworthy achievement, insistence, or occasion of victory. Exaltation resulting from victory over success. We're going to be successful in everything we do if we study and learn and beat 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, study to show yourself approved. Please use these apps. Google put them up there for us to use so that we can learn to be students of Yahweh. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. It's my honor to introduce the great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kahan Nathaniel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, great family of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Before we get into the lesson today, if you'd all please turn over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24, and it's going to be verse 22. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 22. You know, our great teacher, our great pastor, he's shown us that the most recent plague that we've seen in the past few months is actually one of seven, okay? It's one of seven plagues that are to come. You and I, we're going to find our strength, we're going to find our comfort, we're going to find our refuge in Yahweh's house in obedience to the one whom Yahweh has sent. And praise Yahweh, and through the teachings, through his teachings, you and I will acquire our lives, okay? Yahweh has foretold these things, and this is what Yahshua said to his disciples. He said, look, I tell you these things in advance so that when they occur, you will finally believe. And he knew what type of people he was dealing with. He knew what type of issues that they had coming from the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians coming out of that lineage there. But let's go ahead and read verse 22. So Isaiah 24, verse 22. It said, and they will be gathered together like prisoners and are gathered in the pit and will be shut up in the prisons, and after many days they will be visited. Okay? So now, when you look at what's occurring with the coronavirus, people are definitely being shut up like prisoners. Okay? They're being, as a matter of fact, they're preserving certain hotels and such to put people in quarantine. And who remembers how many days an individual has to be quarantined? 14 days. I would say that 14 days is many days, right? So the scripture says, and after many days they will be visited. That word visit means to be observed, to be watched, to be looked at, okay? To be taken care of. Okay, that's what that word visited means. Now, if we go to verse 23, it shows, then the moon will be confounded and the sun will be ashamed when Yahweh of hosts will reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, which Zion is those who stand up for Yahweh's righteousness. Jerusalem is Yahweh's city of peace. And you are in Zion, you are in Jerusalem right now. Before his ancients gloriously. Okay, now that doesn't mean that immediately after COVID-19 that Yahweh is then going to reign. But what that does indicate and show us is that this is that process. This is the beginning of that process. Okay, this is the verse 22 is the beginning of that process, which is the first of the six, the first of the seven woes. And verse 23 is the ending of it, when Yahweh completes what he's planning on doing. If you'll go over to G4, where the side note, it says, when Yahweh shall restore his house, the glory of it, and his ministers, which are his elders, his priests, and shall so shine that the sun and the moon shall be dark in comparison to it. Okay, so there's going to be a physical darkening of the sun and the moon, but then there's also going to be a spiritual darkening of the sun and the moon. Okay, figuratively speaking of Yahweh's glory being given to his people, so much so that they will shine brighter than the stars of heaven. This is to encourage you and I. You know, Yahweh gives us these words so that we would be encouraged. Now, what manner of individual ought we to be? The title of the lesson today is We the People. Now, I don't want you to be confused. We the People is oftentimes used in a political sense, identifying a system of the people and by the people. But we the people, and you'll actually see it in the Gematria, we the people is actually referring to those, we the people in this case, where it refers to you and I, is referring to those who humble themselves and submit themselves to the one whom Yahweh has sent. Okay? Those who say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Okay? This is how we become, we the people become we the people of Yahweh. Okay? And by that, he then becomes our father. I will be your father and you will be my people. That's what Father Yahweh promised us. When we go into the Gematria, we the people was put into the Gematria. And there was, of course, three numbers that come up. In the English, it's 130. And one of the things that 130 means to be ripened, to be prepared, to be made red. That's in the Hebrew. In the Greek, it meant the shedding of blood as in a sacrifice. And Yahshua Messiah shed his blood as a sacrifice for you and I. And we're supposed to live according to that example. But you and I are to be living sacrifices, right? And so what would that blood be? Well, I think we can address that another time. So that was 130 in the Hebrew and the Greek. In the Sumerian is the number 780. Okay, and in the Greek, it means, because you heard the great deacon ahead of me going over his, and he showed in the Gematria his meant to be rejoicing and joyful and all these wonderful things. And I find the exact same thing in this Gematria. 780 in the Greek means gladly, joyfully, with delight, gladly, experiential pleasure and delight. Now, in the Jewish, it was 1218. In the Greek, it means the common people. It means the people assembled. It means to bind, to tie, to bound, to be bound, tied together by laws and customs. It goes to 1163, means of necessity, inevitability, to want, to entreat, to beg, to request, to pray, and to need, to besiege. We the people have to realize that we do need each other, okay? This is, I mean, kind of moving forward a little bit. But it's very interesting that that should be in the Gematria for that term, we the people. You and I are not going to make it into the kingdom without the one sitting beside us. Okay? And that's period and point blank. And Yahshua made it very clear. Yahshua made that very clear. Let me just ask you a question. Would you say that it's easy that you find that it's easy for you to be offended by your brother or your sister in one way or another? Really? Well, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Well, praise Yahweh. If not, well, then that's fine. Me having the great opportunity of being a counselor in Yahweh's house, I know that the vast majority of issues that we deal with as priests is brother to brother, and I'm sure on you know, in the entire body of Yahweh's house, it's brother to brother, sister to sister. These offenses come very readily, okay? They come very readily. Now, we know that we're waiting for a great deception. And I think that we might be able to safely identify that one of the greatest deceptions that Satan can use against us is being offended or upset at our brother or our sister. Don't be surprised if that is the great deception, okay? And I'm not saying that it is. We have to be prepared and ready for all eventualities. But when we look at the condition of man, man is easily offended by his brother. And the scriptures identifies this. Okay, let's go over to page 954. Go over to page 954. It's the book of Jacob. Okay, Jacob chapter 3. Let's read, we're going to read verses 1 to 2 and also verses 8 to 9. It says in verse 1, "My brothers, many of you should not become teachers, since you know that we who teach will receive a stricter judgment." Now, does that mean that Jacob is saying that we shouldn't become teachers? That is in our pastor and overseer is in complete unity with what he reads in the scriptures. And he knows that our commission in these last days is to become teachers. Well, why should that scripture be? What Jacob is trying to do is he's trying to get Yahweh's people to think, to really be able to investigate and look at yourself. Do you want to be a teacher? That's your commission. Your commission and your job is to become a teacher. Let's go forward. Verse 2, "For in many things we all offend, and sin. If any man does not offend in word, the same is a perfect man." So are we perfect men and women right now? "The same is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body," the body of Messiah. Let's go down to verse 8. It says, "But the tongue can no man tame." Right? Again, he's not saying that the tongue can't be tamed, because we know that he said earlier that the tongue can be bridled. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And why does that occur? Because we have our attitudes, we have our likes and our dislikes, and oftentimes our brother's instructions to us, maybe a supervisor didn't say something the way that we wanted to hear it said. And so because now you feel as though you've been offended by your authority, now you have every right to go forward and be disrespectful in one way or another. These are the things that cause us to really have to look at ourselves and really consider, what is that great deception? What is that great deception going to be? Yahweh showed us many in over many scriptures. Let's go over to page 774. This is actually a very, very large topic. But 774, verse 12, or chapter 12, let's go to verse 30. It says, "And you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, soul, and might." And the second is mandatory. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these." And what that is showing is that this is what the entire law hinges upon. This is what the entire law teaches us, that we have to love our brother. And if we're in opposition in one way or another to our brother, Yahweh said he doesn't even accept our offerings. You and I have to be very, very careful, okay? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And if we speak a word against Yahweh's people, against Yahweh's work, we can be found very lacking when it comes time for Father Yahweh to issue rewards. Let's go over real quick to page 958, first Kefa. Well, just keep that for yourself. Okay, it's First Kefa, chapter 2, verse 19. Read that, and that needs to be, that scripture we need to apply. We need to apply it in our minds and and apply it to our hearts so that we are not found lacking before Father Yahweh. And at this time, if the people of Yahweh would please stand, I'll go ahead and turn the floor over to the Great Khan, Matithia Arsamont Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great family of Yahweh. You can be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. I pray everyone's having a great Sabbath day and rejoicing on the Sabbath. What an honor it is to be able to stand before the saints of Yahweh in these last days. The title of my sermon today is "Death Will Pass Over Yahweh's People." And if you'd be turning over to Psalms chapter 119, found on page 485 and verse 113, Psalms 119, verse 113. We see a lot of turmoil on the earth today, and we see a lot of death and disease and fighting and warring. And we know what Pastor has been teaching us for many, 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 many moons here in this wilderness, showing us what prophecy shows for mankind. And it's not a pretty picture. It's a great time of trouble that's coming upon mankind. In Psalms 119 and verse 113 and 114, it says, "We hate the thoughts of vanity, but we love your law. You are our hiding place and our shield. We hope in your word, the law and the prophets." If you be turning over to Matithia chapter 24, you know, so we Yahweh's people, we hate these thoughts of vanity. We love Yahweh's law because we know Yahweh's law is our shield. You know, his house is our hiding place. The instructions that we receive, you know, it's not that we have such a strong building here that we can resist any forms of destruction that could come upon mankind, but we know that it's the instructions that we receive that is our protection from Yahweh. And the Savior said here in Matithia chapter 24, and he spoke of this time of trouble that we would be in these last days, this last generation of mankind, you know, which we know, hopefully by now we know, this last generation started in 1934, you know, the only time period where mankind has had the means and ability to destroy all hope of life with these nuclear weapons that they have, you know, and even without their weapons, you can see they're destroying themselves day by day from partaking in sin and bringing the curses upon their bodies, starting this process of death in their bodies as was warned in Genesis. But the Savior said here in Matithia chapter 24 and verse 21, "For then will be great tribulation such as not come to pass since the beginning of this world to this time, nor will ever be." Okay, so this is going to be a time period like no other. In the first book of Israel, making the connection with Yahweh, chapter 7, pastor showed here on page 51. This is the first book of Israel, chapter 7, and verse 63. He shows here, he's reading in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, at that time, one who is like Yahweh, remember Micaiah stands for one who is like Yahweh, and we know who is the one on the face of the earth that is like Yahweh, who stands up like Yahweh and warns the people to turn from their rebellious ways. One will stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people, and there will be a time. Pastor says this time here that is spoken of is the same word that means 3.5 years that was given in Daniel. A time of trouble. So there is still a time of trouble yet right here. This time of trouble will be the very worst of all. You know, unseen in all of man's history. And he says, we have seen a lot of times of trouble already in history, but nothing is going to be like this time of trouble. You know, and this is a part of Satan's deception for mankind. You know, that we've had wars and we've had diseases and we've had pandemics and epidemics and we've had these different trials and struggles. You know, we survived with that running water and vehicles and all these things for almost 6,000 years. So mankind's going to be fine. You know, we're going to pull out of it. You know, and they neglect to see the seriousness of this time period that we live in, where they have certain curses that have come up. You know, and ways of destroying people in mass numbers that never was available before this last generation. You know, up until about 100 years ago, these things weren't seen. You didn't have these large bombs that could kill millions with one bomb. You didn't have planes to carry bombs and carry them to any part of the earth, you know, in a matter of minutes, or missiles that can shoot them in the matter of 30 minutes to 60 minutes. So we see that this time of trouble is going to be like nothing seen in the history of mankind. Pastor continues in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. It says, there will be a time since never was there was a nation to that same time. At that time, your people will be delivered. So we see Yahweh offers us a deliverance from these destructive means. Pastor says, first off, look at the word delivered. It says, your people will be delivered. This word actually means rescue, save, serve, speedily, surely. And the most common use of the word is to express the escaping from any kind of danger, such as an enemy. Like in Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 6, Pastor says. So we see here that we are in this time of trouble. And, you know, every day when you watch the news, you get a glimpse of the trouble that mankind is facing. You know, and how they're searching for answers and they're not really sure exactly what to do, you know, because they don't listen to Yahweh's house and they don't follow what's written in their scriptures. You know, they're not interested. The Bible is just like a history book, you know, that's, you know, it looks great on the coffee table and, you know, it's great to swear in their politicians and officials. They swear that, you know, they swear by it. It's supposed to make them a moral person because they put their hand on that book. Now, Yahweh's way is a simple way of life. You know, it's not complicated. It's not complex. You know, it's a very simple way of life. And in order to reap the benefits and the blessings that Yahweh offers, there's some simple instructions. I'm just going to go over three of them here that Yahweh gives us. First we have is eating according to Yahweh's health laws. You know, how can you learn when your mind is confused and defiled with unclean foods? And so Yahweh shows us in Leviticus chapter 11, he shows us the things we should and we shouldn't eat. Also, Pastor in the House of Yahweh have published a free booklet, Health Yahweh's Way, which gives guidelines and instructions on things that you should be eating and things you should stay away from and why staying away from those things are important. And then also the House of Yahweh has the Clean and Acceptable Guide, which helps us to navigate. You know, it's like our GPS to what things you can get out of the stores, because there's so many things now that are defiled that they like to put their unclean food in about everything, you know, that you would never guess. So we have to eat clean, healthy food so that we can learn righteousness, so that we can have a mind that's acceptable of learning new information. Pastor once said that pork is like marijuana, where it confuses the mind to where you can't learn, you can't retain information. You know, and this is why Satan promotes the unclean eating of foods. You know, it's everywhere where they promote it, that it's acceptable, it's enjoyable, it's cheap, it's readily available. You know, they shut down everything except the fast food joints, you know, where you can still drive through and you can get your unclean food in a hurry. The second thing, you know, simple instructions that Yahweh gives us is that we should keep his Sabbath day. If you'd be turning over to Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20, found on page 61, Yahweh gives us a clear instruction that we are to keep his Sabbath. And he shows us which day it is. And we've been taught in the Great House of Yahweh. Pastor gave a series of sermons in 2009, I believe, called Keeping the Sabbath as Yahweh Keeps the Sabbath. It was like a 19, well, it might have been more than 19 sermons, but at least 19 sermons that he gave showing how to keep the Sabbath exactly as Yahweh kept the Sabbath. That you have to gather at his house. Okay, and if the way is too far, you know, Yahweh makes it easy. You don't have to be some millionaire where you can jump on a plane and fly to Abel every week. You know, that's not really occurring very often. And right now you can't even fly anywhere anyways. But he makes it simple that if the way is too far, then you join us by the various media outlets, you know. And as one of the priests was speaking recently in one of the men's classes, that it's not even like it used to be where you had to wait 2 or 3 weeks, you know, to get that cassette tape to come in the mail that you could put in and you could get the message. You know, nowadays we can join in live on the House of Yahweh's Facebook page, the official House of Yahweh, or from yahweh.com. And in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, just some of the highlights here, Yahweh tells us to remember the Sabbath, that 6 days we shall labor and do our work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh. So he shows us which day it is. You don't have to guess on which day you're supposed to be serving Yahweh and when you're supposed to be at his house. Now, thirdly, and also for your remembrance, remember, and you can write this for your notes, Exodus 31:13, it shows us that Yahweh's Sabbath is a sign. You know, it shows that we belong to Yahweh. You know, and that's a great feeling, know that we belong to Yahweh. We keep his Sabbath, we keep his feast, we're practicing his laws, we're striving to overcome, to have that peace that comes in your life from knowing you belong to Yahweh, not having to worry about all the different ways of experiencing death that we see in the earth today. Having that peace is a great comfort, you know, day by day. I know I find it, and I see it amongst the brothers, you know, that it's very peaceful to be able to rejoice at Yahweh's house every Sabbath, every new moon, and at the feast. You know, because you see in the scriptures the love that Yahweh has for his creation, for his people, and how he's a righteous head, how he leads and he guides and he teaches and he trains. And so we know Yahweh is going to protect us. You know, it's not going to be some physical thing that we have that saves us. You know, there are physical steps to take in cleansing and cleaning things from the defilement of the earth using, you know, lye water and different types of things that pastors instructed us. But we know that the protection comes because Yahweh is in full control, as Pastor saw in that dream on 5:12, that Yahweh is in complete control. He has full control. So the third and final step I wanted to cover here was keeping Yahweh's feast at his house. Okay, the three times a year commanded times to appear before Yahweh. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 and 7 and 8. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the place that Yahweh will choose out of all your tribes to establish his name. And there in front of Yahweh, you and your family shall eat and you shall rejoice. You must not do as the world is doing," or as, you know, the children of Israel were doing at that time, whatever was right in their own eyes. And he shows in verse 11 that Yahweh will choose to establish his name at a place, you know, and this is the only house of Yahweh on the face of the earth right here. "And there you will bring all that I command you, your tithes and your offerings and your special gifts. And you shall rejoice in front of Yahweh." Okay? And so, in 12:13, Deuteronomy 12:13, he says, "Be careful not to sacrifice your offerings in every place that you please." So Yahweh shows that we have to come to his house. You know, we have to be here at his house to be able to receive. You know, is it some kind of, you know, at feast we get special little things handed out? Well, sometimes they might have special booklets and stuff, but no, it's the wisdom and the knowledge that flows forth from the witness mouth. You know, the instructions of life that come forth. Every teaching he gives is an instruction for our life. You know, sometimes they seem really simple or minute, you know, and that's our carnal mind not latching on to the importance of it. You know, we have to be on guard that we take every word that the witness gives us and we apply it to our day-to-day lives so that we can find the success and the blessing that comes from keeping Yahweh's laws. Now the world, they're in a bit of a mess. And just quickly here, these are statistics. And if you think maybe sometimes it takes long to get your tithe receipt or other kinds of receipts, the world, they take a while to get things done, and they have the greatest and the best. But their statistics usually are about 2 years behind. So the newest statistics I could find was from 2017. And this was from ourworldanddata.org. Ourworldanddata.org. And these are from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, which has been evaluating, and this is death statistics of the world, and they've been evaluating this since 1990. Now, there's 32 different ways that people died in 2017. You know, they list the most common ways of people's death. There's 32 ways, and what I found was very interesting, you know, because the things that we see, like in the news and on the media at times, you can see the strong propaganda as they, you know, you can see the propaganda they promote about Yahweh's house. You know, we're in Yahweh's house. We're here every week, and we learn, and we're guided by Yahweh's house. And then when you see reports about the house of Yahweh in the news, you can kind of see how the news gets things way off. So it's kind of amazing to see that the news will focus on certain points that we see in society today, like these things. One of the speakers said last week, you know, these things are going to kill you, you know, and you got to be worried, and you got to run and get yourself whatever, you know, whatever it is they're offering that's going to make you better. Well, those things are like, they're kind of way down on the list here, these 32 different things. And before the most recent, you know, scare of coronavirus that has everyone buying all the toilet paper and the food, strange the toilet paper was going first. But before that, I don't know if you remember, but remember we've been fighting a war on terror since like 2001, you know, because these people who are way, way, way far away and live in caves and rocks and stuff, you know, they're going to come here and they're going to hurt us, you know. So this war of terrorism has been going on for, you know, almost 20 plus years here. And what I found interesting, out of the 32 different ways that people died in 2017, terrorism was the 31st killer. It was like all the way down at the bottom of the list, okay? But if you look at that website, ourworldanddata.org, it's interesting to see that the number one cause of death was cardiovascular disease, you know, heart disease, you know, which pastors showed many times how certain sins destroy the heart and break down and destroy the body. In closing, I wanted to read Psalms 91 and verse 5 and 8. It says, "You will not be afraid of the terror at night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Only with your eyes you will look, and you will see the reward of the wicked." So continue to remain strong in Yahweh's house, and continue to watch as death passes over Yahweh's people. And if you all please stand. Yahweh bless your understanding. Have a great Sabbath. I have the privilege and opportunity to introduce the great Kohan Yochanan Hawkins.
Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. There's a certain group in here that knows about something they call the scripture game, where to play it, they read a scripture from somewhere random throughout the book, and then they've got to try to find where that is. And the first one to find where it is gets to read the next scripture for everyone to look for, and so forth. You could view this sermon as that to some degree, because I've got my Book of Yahweh here, but I'm not going to take time looking through the Book of Yahweh to find where everything that I want to reference is going to be found. I don't know how many times I've asked someone, "Do you want to be in the kingdom? Would you have done that if you were thinking about the kingdom? Or did that get you closer to the kingdom than where you were before?" Well, their answer seems always to be, "Yeah, I want to be in the kingdom. Can I go play now?" Well, the original sons of Yahweh, we have found, they also wanted to go play. And they came to this planet, they came to planet Earth, which Yahweh created for mankind, and they played here. And they caused unimaginable suffering in doing so. They had the power to create and maintain flesh. They had the authority to command the microorganisms to do this very thing. But what they did was they created huge fleshly destroying machines, war machines. And they took pleasure out of watching these things tear each other from limb from limb and spilling blood all over the place and crushing bones and so forth. They took pleasure out of seeing death and destruction. The fossil record shows this to us. It actually has a record of what they've done and what they did. But one question we've got to ask ourselves, do we take pleasure out of seeing things suffer? You know, if you think about it, in TV, the highest rating seems to come from depicting murder and suffering and sin of every sort. Well, if that turns us on, you're mad now. Yeah, it is mad. It is insane to be able to take pleasure out of suffering, out of watching something else suffer. I once heard it said, play is nothing more than destroying someone else's hard work. And for them, play was destroying someone else's hard work, because it was work that went into building these creatures. And what were they doing? They were destroying them. Destroying it and watching and enjoying watching them be destroyed. But one might ask, how can going outside after a lesson and running around, getting some fresh air, be destroying someone's hard work? If we go outside and spend our time out there talking about the lesson that we just had, discussing the things that we're trying to learn, there is no destruction there. But when we go out just to fool around and play and go aimlessly, then we are destroying the work that went into trying to get these things into our minds to begin with. When we leave here, when we leave on the Sabbath, do we go home and fool around? Or do we go home and think about the things and rehearse the things that we learned? That's really what we ought to be doing. It's written that we should be doers of the work, doers of the law, and not hearers only. Because just being a hearer and then running off, we immediately forget what we were supposed to be learning, what we're supposed to be preparing ourselves for. Yeah, we want to be in the kingdom. But what is that kingdom? We've been shown that the kingdom is, among other things, a family of teachers. A family of teachers who are teaching, who are to teach Yahweh's way of peace, so that we can actually alleviate the problems that are faced not only throughout this world but through the entire universe. There is unimaginable suffering and misery going on right now everywhere, and this does not bring pleasure to Yahweh. And this is the purpose, the reason he's got this plan, is to put an end to the suffering and the misery that is in his creation. And our job is actually to teach a way of life that will put an end to all the suffering, all the misery, all the pain that people are experiencing right now, that creatures throughout the universe are experiencing. Mankind is uniquely created to teach There is no other creature on the face of the earth or anywhere else. You know, well, I can't say it anywhere else, but certainly on the earth. There's no creature on the face of the earth besides man who is capable of formulating an idea in their mind and turning around and communicating that to others, turning it into words, uttering it to someone else to where they can hear those words and have the same picture come up in their mind that was in the person who's doing the speaking. No other creature but mankind can do this. But the question we've got to ask ourselves is, what do we teach? Are we teaching something that will bring peace? Or are we teaching whatever seems right in our own eyes? You know, whatever seems right for the moment. It's written that if we do lean on our own understanding, if we do proceed with what seems right to ourselves, this will ultimately lead to death. When Saul was ordained king over Israel, at one point he was told, whatever the situation you encounter, do what is right. Well, there was one day he encountered a situation, and he thought the right thing to do was to offer up a burnt offering to Yahweh. The problem is, that wasn't his job. And it led to his death, but not only his death, it led to the loss of the kingship over Israel for not only himself, but for all his descendants. Which, as history has it, his descendants ended with Jonathan, who died in a war very shortly after that. The thing is, how do we teach? How do we teach? We teach by what we say. It's been said, in all our life, we are either teaching or we're learning. If we're talking, then we are teaching. But if we are listening to someone else talk, then we are learning. It's one way or the other, but there's always teaching and learning taking place. Not only by what we say, though, but also by what we do. We teach by our example. The things that we choose to do, especially when we don't have someone right there making us do it. We teach by what we choose to do. And I don't know how many times I see someone doing something. Where did you learn to do that? I saw so-and-so doing it. It's written, woe to the world because of temptations to sin. But woe, or I should say, woe to the world because of temptations to sin. It is inevitable that temptations to sin comes. But woe to that person through whom the temptation comes. It would be better that a millstone be hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depth of the sea than for him to do something that causes one of these others to fall away. Think about that. The things that we choose to do when someone isn't right there forcing us or making us do the right thing, someone else is learning from it. They're always learning from it. So we've got to be very careful about what we teach by our actions as well as by our words. Yahweh will show us what we should teach if we let him. You know, Yahweh gives us that choice. We can teach, we can let him show us how to do it, or we can decide we're going to do what we want to do. And we are actually given that choice. He says in the start, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. He also said in another place, See that you make all things according to the pattern that was shown to you at the house of Yahweh. Make all things according to that pattern. But are we making them according to the pattern Yahweh was showing us? Or are we making them according to our own pattern? The pattern we're shown in the house of Yahweh is service to others. Service to others brings joy. Seeing their needs met will bring us satisfaction. And if we get satisfaction from what we're doing, if we get joy from what we're doing, you know, then we're going to be thankful that we even have the opportunity to do this. You know, again, if we take pleasure out of seeing someone else suffer, there's no desire to alleviate someone else's sufferings. But if we see them suffering and we want to take advantage of an opportunity to alleviate that suffering, and then when we can do it, we're joyful, we're satisfied, we're taking pleasure out of that, we're thankful for it. You know, all this comes under the word gratitude. And Yahweh says that it is pleasing to Him that we are made, or the heart is made steadfast by gratitude, by being thankful that we have an opportunity to be a part of helping someone else have an easier life. Well, we said we want to be a part of the kingdom. The fact is, we are to build that kingdom. Where it's written, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These words start a chapter which talks about a group of people down through the ages, each of whom did their part to basically lay the foundation that we are working from. They started the process. Now it's up to us to finish it. They started the process. They heard about this kingdom. Some of them might have seen visions about this kingdom, but they heard about this kingdom and they knew that it was way off in the distance. But they wanted to be a part of building it. They wanted to be a part of building it. They wanted to be a part. They wanted to have a part in preparing the bloodline for Yahshua. They wanted to do a little bit here, a little bit there. Maybe set up a little bit of guidance into what we need to do in order to finish this work. More often than not, they didn't understand what they were doing. They just knew that something was driving them to do it. They also knew that they wouldn't be able to realize the fruit of their labors during their lives. And some of them were doing it even on the day they died because they wanted it that badly. We actually have the opportunity of being here when that kingdom is finally set up. But we've got a work to do. We've got a work to do, and we really need to apply ourselves to that work. Well, my time is up, but there's much more that we're going to be finding out about and seeing as we go on. But everyone needs to do their part in this work of building this kingdom, making it a reality. And if you'd all please stand. Yahweh bless your understanding. It's my privilege and honor to present our next speaker for this morning, the great Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. It's an honor and a privilege to address the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. The title of the sermon today is The Last 3.5 Years, Revelation 17:16, and the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these will hate the whore and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And a follow-up question to that prophecy, how is that possible for that prophecy to be fulfilled? And we know that every one of Yahweh's prophecies and the words of Yahshua will be fulfilled in these last days. So in going to the second slide here, Revelation 13, this is subtitled in the book of Yahweh, The Beast from the Sea. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and this is the revelations which Yahweh gave to Yahshua and was given to Yochanan for Yahweh's last day's witness to explain in these last days. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Of course, sea meaning peoples, having 7 heads. And this is describing the location of this beast, the 7 hills of Rome. And it also had 10 horns. And these are religious powers. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. Blasphemy, speaking against Yahweh, speaking and teaching against the laws of Yahweh. Now in Revelation 17, verse 1, we're going to look at 1 through 3 here. And there came one of the 7 Malachim, and this is who had the 7 bowls, and talked to me, saying to me, come, I, and you can put pastor's name in there, Yisrael Hawkins, the 7th Malach, will show you the sentence of the great whore. He's going to explain these prophecies in these last days. That sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And we know that leader after leader of the countries of the earth visit the Pope for instructions. Commit fornication, practice idolatry, that is God worship, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of God worshipers, and I saw a woman sitting or ruling over on a scarlet colored beast. Now the College of Cardinals is in the Roman Catholic Church. They dress in their scarlet colored robes and clothing, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So what does this beast actually look like? In Revelation 17, verses 7 and 8, and the 7th Malach said to me, why are you astonished? I will show you the mystery or the meaning of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. And the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now the bottomless pit to me means the depth of God worship, the system of God worship, the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, which means destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So those whose names are not written in the book of life, those who do not have understanding at this time in the world, they're going to wonder. They're going to wonder when they see this beast or beastly system that is being described here. They're going to will wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. It doesn't say they're going to fear the beast or fear the system. It says they're going to wonder at it. So I have a picture to show you of this beast that has 7 heads and 10 horns. So you have that picture in your mind. And here is that system that Yahshua was describing in the book of Revelation. You see here a religious people gathering, a dinner or a banquet. In the forefront of the picture, Pope Francis in the white, and he is the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, headquartered in Rome, Italy. and he's embracing the appointed leader of the Orthodox Catholic Church, Patriarch Bartholomew, in this picture. And all around there you see their advisors. Their advisors who help these two leaders govern their organizations. And the Orthodox kings, let's go on to Revelation 17 here. And here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven hills are seven mountains, seven hills of Rome on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, five popes have fallen. Now I have here since the Lateran Treaty of 1929. That marked the point where the Roman Catholic Church became a sovereign country, the Holy See. So they became a sovereign country within the country of Italy. They received some other things at that time also. But also, there have been seven kings since the birth of the two witnesses. Jacob, the first, the older witness in 1924, and Yisrael Hawkins, the witness born in 1934. So there are seven kings that have fallen, and one is... So five were... When this present tense prophecy was... There are seven kings have fallen, and one is, now this is speaking of Pope John Paul II, the sixth king. He was pope when the House of Yahweh was established by the two witnesses in the chief of the nations, the United States of America. And the other, the seventh king, has not yet come, and when he, Pope Benedict, comes, he must continue a short time. He himself shortened his term as pope by resigning or retiring, and left open the way for Pope Francis to come, and he's the eighth, as it says here in verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, indeed, he, Pope Francis, is the eighth and is of the seven. And notice another prophecy specifically about Pope Francis is going into perdition, which means is going into destruction. Now in Revelation 17 verse 12, it's going to explain the ten horns. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which as yet have not received a kingdom, but they did receive a kingdom in 2016 when they joined with the Vatican. But receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, this time period, this beginning in 2016 is when they formalized their authority, lending their strength to the Vatican. Now let's talk a little bit about these ten horns. They're considered the Eastern Orthodox Church, but notice their official name, the Orthodox Catholic Church. So you have the Roman Catholic Church and you have the Orthodox Catholic Church. So the Orthodox Catholic Church is the second largest Christian church. And so we've seen this picture. The House of Yahweh brought this out in 2016. This picture was of the ten kings was taken on the island of Crete at a meeting they had there. The other four Orthodox churches, including the Russian Orthodox Church, did not attend. And this picture was taken 6/17 of 2016. Now, the Eastern Orthodox Church, officially the Orthodox Catholic Church, is the second largest Christian church with approximately 260 million members. As one of the oldest religious institutions in the world, the Orthodox Church has played a prominent role in the history and culture of Eastern and Southeastern Europe, the Caucasus, which is a mountainous area, and the Near East. Continuing with the Eastern Orthodox Church, officially as a communium of autocephalous, which means independent, they're same religious doctrines, but they're independent of somewhat independent of each other, each governed by its bishops called a Holy Synod. The church has no central doctrinal or governance authority analogous to the Catholic Pope, but the ecumenical patriarch of Constantinople, who is Bartholomew, and you saw him being embraced by Pope Francis in that earlier photo, is recognized by all as primus inter pares, meaning first among equals, so he's their leader of the bishops. So in Revelation 17, verse 14, and these, no, this is the woman sitting on the scarlet-colored beast, will make war with the Lamb. So this organization, this beastly system, will make war with Yahshua, but the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the ruler of rulers and king of kings. And those who are with him, you know, that's us, that's the faithful of the first resurrection, are called and chosen and faithful, and the ten horns, these are the Orthodox Catholics, which you saw upon the beast, these will hate the whore, these are the referring to the Roman Catholics, will make her desolate and naked, and will burn her with, and will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And this prophecy was also given in Daniel 7, verse 11, which said, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld until the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. It's speaking of the nuclear burning flame, what he's talking about here. So how is this possible? Now, it doesn't have to develop like this, but I'd like to point out to you some statements that have been made that show you how accurate Yahweh is with his prophecies. And we know he's 100% accurate and 100% in full control. But this is a little article about Mr. Putin, the president of Russia. President of Russia Vladimir Putin was born in Cold War era Russia in 1952. His mother worked in a factory during World War II, and his father was drafted into the army, where he served in the submarine fleet. During his younger years, Putin was an atheist. He says he turned to the church after two major accidents in the 1990s, his wife's car accident and a house fire. Now notice what his religious beliefs are. He now considers himself to be a devout member of the Russian Orthodox Catholic Church. So Mr. Putin is a member of the Orthodox Catholic Church. And notice what Mr. Putin also stated in 2018, this article came out. Russia's President Vladimir Putin, at the annual meeting of the Valdai Discussion Club on the Black Sea Resort of Sochi, said, he made this in response to a discussion they were having at that time, only when we, Russia, become convinced that there is an incoming nuclear, and pastors talked about first strike nuclear, only when we become convinced that there is an incoming nuclear attack on the territory of Russia, and that happens within seconds, only after that we would launch a retaliatory nuclear strike, he said, during a panel discussion at the forum. And this is what Mr. Putin said. He said, we would be victims of an aggression, of a nuclear aggression, and would get to heaven as martyrs, while those who initiated the aggression, now who could that be? Who is giving Mr. Putin and Russia a lot of trouble on their borders now, in the Ukraine situation? It's NATO, the Pope's army, NATO. So Mr. Putin said, we would be victims of an aggression and would get to heaven as martyrs, while those who initiated the aggression would just die but not even have time to repent. Why? Because Russia has many, many ways of counteracting an attack, even though they may be greatly damaged themselves. So here is a list of NATO countries, and the underlined nations here, Now, NATO means North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's an alliance. Countries grouped together for defense purposes. Notice one of the founding countries in this group of countries is Italy. Italy's capital is Rome. So what do we see in the what organization is in Rome, Italy? So Italy is one of the members of NATO, and what his pastor said about NATO. On the bottom there, he said, Yisrael Hawkins has described NATO as the Pope's army. So here again, those whose names are not written in the Book of Life are going to wonder at the beast. They're not going to fear it. They're going to wonder at it. Here's a listing of the 10 kings. The countries they're from: Poland, Cyprus, Serbia, Alexandria, Egypt, Constantinople, Jerusalem, Romania, Greece, Albania, the Czechlands, and Slovakia. The only one who has any nuclear capability is Jerusalem, Israel, but it doesn't say that the fire is going to come from any other source other than the 10 kings. So I'd just like to look at Revelation 17, verse 11 here, and maybe explain this verse. Yeshua wrote in some of these verses, to me, they're written as he spoke and taught in parables. So Revelation 17, 11, and the beast that was and is not, indeed, he is the eighth and is of the seven, and is going into perdition. Let's add some additional information to that. And the beast that was prophesied to come in the last days, and is not, indeed, he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going into perdition. And the beast that was prophesied to come in the last days, and is not come to full power, until the woman that sits on seven hills of Rome is joined by the 10 kings, indeed, he is the eighth and is of the seven and is going into perdition. And the beast that was prophesied to come in the last days and is not come to full power until the woman that sits on the seven hills of Rome is joined by the 10 kings, indeed, he, Pope Francis, is the eighth pope of the Roman Catholic Church since the birth of the two witnesses, and is of the same office as the previous seven popes and is going into perdition. And the final slide here today, Revelation 17:11, and the beast that was prophesied to come in the last days and is not come to full power until the woman that sits on the seven hills of Rome is joined by the 10 kings. Indeed, he, Pope Francis, is the eighth pope of the Roman Catholic Church since the birth of the two witnesses, and is of the same office as the previous seven popes, and is going into perdition when the destruction, and this is the nuclear destruction, that is prophesied or determined upon this beast that rises up out of the sea, the 1 hour nuclear burning will be poured upon the desolator, this beast, led by Satan, the Lord of heaven, the abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Please stand for closing prayer.